Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in the seventh Psalm, Psalm 7. And we looked at the first couple of verses of it in a previous episode. Just remember what we covered so far. The title actually tells us a good bit about this. This is a Shigeon, whatever that is. Nobody really knows. But it's something that David sang to the Lord. So it's either a liturgical thing or it's a melody or it's a particular kind of melody played upon a particular kind of instrument. David used that and he sang to the Lord this psalm. And this psalm concerns the words of Cush, a Benjaminite. We don't know who Cush is. We don't have anything in the scripture about him. But he had spoken some words, apparently. And just from the first two verses, we begin to discern that these words were words that caused a great trouble in David's life. Look what he said in the first two verses. O Lord, my God, in you do I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me, lest like a lion they tear my soul apart, rending it in pieces with none to deliver. So we've seen in the first six Psalms that we've covered so far that many, many times David is calling out to the Lord and saying, save me, deliver me. I take refuge in you. I'm trusting in you. Here in this situation, he said, there's some things going on, but there's some pursuers that are after him. And he says, save me and deliver me, lest they tear my soul apart. Not necessarily his body apart, though that is a concern every time I think, but tear his soul apart. These words of Cush were tearing his soul apart, and he wanted to be delivered from this. And then David does this in the next few verses here. I don't know, the next three, four verses. He's literally saying this. If I'm guilty, God, then let him have at me. My enemies, if I'm guilty, listen to what he says here in verse 3. O Lord, my God, same thing he said in verse 1, that O Lord, my God, a declaration that God, Yahweh, is the Lord. And then a declaration that David's saying, you are my Lord. I believe in you. Don't read too quickly over those phrases. Don't become too familiar with them. And what I mean by that is sometimes we'll say, oh, Lord, my God, and we just move on. It's actually used today as a response to things. If something happens, people will go, oh, Lord, my God. Well, God knows our heart. He also knows our mouth. Okay. So sometimes people just say that sporadically and don't really mean anything about it. Other times they are actually crying out to God. But it is a declaration that God is real, that God is the Lord, and that he is my God. So David says, O Lord, my God, if I have done this, if there is wrong in my hands, if I have repaid my friend with evil or plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it, and let him trample my life to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. This is a rather profound and powerful way of saying, hey, God, I'm innocent. You know, I have not done whatever these words are about. But look at what he describes here. He says, if I have done this, well, done what? Had done something. We're not told particularly what it is at this point. I think it goes back concerning the words of Cush and what the accusation of Cush is and what Cush was saying. And David says, if I have done this, and then he defines even more, if I've done this, and then if there is wrong in my hands. So there's a little pattern here of three or four things of if I have. If I have, if I have, if I have done this, if there's wrong in my hands, if I repaid my friend with evil, and that word friend right there in the Hebrew literally means this, the one at peace with me. So if I repaid the one that's at peace with me with evil, or plundered my enemy without cause, notice the caveat there, without cause, then let something happen. We'll talk about that in a second. But you see what he's doing. He's building the case. He's saying, I haven't done this. There is no wrong in my hands. I haven't repaid someone that I'm at peace with evil. I haven't plundered my enemy without cause. He did plunder enemies. He was victorious over enemies and plundered them, but it wasn't without cause. The enemy was guilty. The enemy was coming against him. But he's saying, I haven't done this. I haven't done it. But he says, if I did do it, Lord, if I have done this, if there's wrong in my hands, if I've repaid my, if I have plundered, then verse 5, then let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it, and let him trample my life to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. Selah. Ah, so you have a little Selah moment right here. What does Selah mean? We're not exactly sure. We don't know. We can sort of see some things from context in all the Psalms. I like to think of it from the point of view of, hey, take an instrumental ride. And what that means is the guitarist is about to take a solo between a chorus and the next verse, or a chorus and a bridge of a song. Also, during that instrumental break type of thing, it's a time of meditating. It's a time of thinking. It's a time of reflecting upon what was said. And so that, I think that's what's going on here. I'm saying, hey, if this has happened, then let the enemy have me now. Let the enemy pursue my soul. Remember how he just asked, hey, God, save me, deliver me from the one who wants to tear my soul apart? Yeah. Then let him pursue my soul. Let him overtake me, God. And not only pursue my soul, and not only overtake my soul, my emotions, that's what the soul is, the sea of the emotions, but let him trample my life to the ground and let my glory lie in the dust. In other words, not only let him overtake my soul, not only let him have victory in the emotional realm, but let him trample my life to the ground, lay my glory in the dust. Let him kill me. God, let him kill me. And that's what he's saying. If I'm guilty of this, God, let it happen now. But let me just read maybe one more verse here today. Verse 6 says this, arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up against the fury of my enemies. Awake for me. You have appointed a judgment. And you actually see this in the scripture a lot, in the Psalms too, where the psalmist will say, hey, God, wake up, wake up. And the idea isn't that God has fallen asleep. And it's not even the idea that God has forsaken nor abandoned us, though often we and the psalmist will feel like that. No, he's saying, God, now's the time. Please stir yourself up, awaken yourself to what my problem is. And do it, Lord. Arise, Lord, O Lord, in your anger. In your anger, Lord, arise. Lift up yourself against the fury of my enemies. My enemies are coming at me in a furious way. Lord, I ask that you will arise in your anger and in your fury, that you will wake up and that you will deal with my enemies. And then the last part of verse 6, you have appointed a judgment. He's acknowledging, I know that there's going to be a judgment, God. I know you've appointed a judgment, and I pray that you will bring forth judgment now upon my enemies at this point in time. And David's just like us. Now, Lord, please. Now, Lord, please. Do we not do that all the time? Psalm 7. We would do well to meditate upon this, folks. Before you recline upon your night bed this evening, read through this 7th Psalm. It's not that long. How many verses is it? 17 verses. So we're nearly halfway through it. We'll finish the rest of the next couple episodes. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.